Hey everybody, I'm Julia.
I'm Miranda.
And we're here to do one thing.
Put the pee in raspberry. And just like the pee in raspberry,
everything we're about to say is completely pointless.
Every week, Julia and I will give our unwanted opinions on all things pop culture.
Because what the world needs now, more than ever, is another flamboyant
Hello,
Island duo
ghouls with a podcast that contributes
absolutely
back
nothing to
our first episode of the season four of the Pee and Raspberry. I don't know why, but I was tempted to say the Rue and Paul. You never know. I'm here today with my beautiful co-host,
Miranda.
And I, as per usual, am Julia. Now, you might have guessed what better episode to start with than the 95th Annual Academy Awards. Boo. Don't boo it, guys. Give it a chance. You know, I've always said award seasons is my favorite season out of all four of them. And I'm blessed to be here today talking about it. I told Miranda, I was like, the one thing we can't miss on the Pee and Raspberry is the Oscars. So you have them to thank for our triumphant return.
And I said, I won't miss it, even though I am on vacation and I am sitting on the floor of a random Airbnb recording this on my headphones. So I apologize for any audio troubles, but we're here because we love you all. We wanted to come back. We've gone for so long. It's ridiculous. Excuse me. We apologize, but we are some busy ladies, and we lived our little lives for a little bit, but we're back. Don't worry. We're back for the Oscars. So don't get scared. We're here. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about every little thing. So where should we start, Julia?
First of all, yeah, as Miranda said, have no fear. And thank you, Miranda, for joining us today. It's such an effort, what you have done. When were you watching this? Like 5 a.m. or something?
The Oscars? Yes.
Miranda had to watch it late because, you know, they're not accessible to everybody in real time. So I want to start, first of all, this is totally irrelevant. And if you want to skip past this, that's okay. But I will consider you a potso.
But don't.
Don't. Do you understand the reference? I always forget what you do or don't watch. And I always forget what my viewers are not into. But do you understand the reference? I was watching with my friend Lily last night, and whenever we would say the Oscars, she'd be like, yeah, let's put on the Oski boy.
No, I do not know what that is. What is that?
For all my smart girls out there, I'm sure you recognize that as in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Jeff has a dog named Oscar, and for some reason, it's like this running gag that Larry, like, loves this dog. And whenever he's with him, he's like, Oski, come here, Oski boy, Oski. Okay. So I thought that was a funny connection.
Well,
to
you know that
I've
watched
that on my
show.
Own.
I just haven't gotten very far. I'm still in the early seasons.
Oh, really? You haven't met Oski yet?
No, at least not that I remember. I'm pretty sure I have not met. I'm literally in, like, season 2.
You would have remembered Oscar. He's a great dog.
Well, he hasn't appeared yet, but I'll keep an eye out for him.
Please do. And guys, I can't recommend the show enough. And that actually brings me into what I do want to start talking about, which is the host. I felt like this was the most appropriate to start with because they open the ceremony and here we are opening our episode. Now, here's the thing. I'm always going to be biased against a host because it is arguably one of my dream jobs in life. And I know, I'm not saying this to be conceited or whatever it may be, I know I would do a better job. Not even, like, controversial opinion.
Let's start a petition, guys. Next year.
I think we should. I'm still waiting for the big break moment of someone being like, hi, I love the Pee and Raspberry, like, really casual text. And then the last line being like, so do you want to host the Oscars? Like, a very casual thing.
Yeah.
Which also brings me to...
I think that's how it happens for everyone.
Probably. Which also brings me to my little solution for the fact that I think that the hosts tend to be a little less than desired, is to go back to hosting duos, which is why, of course, yeah. I mentioned the Pee and Raspberry. I don't understand. I think, listen, sometimes I think the duos are like too random and it doesn't work then in that sense. Mm-hmm. But when we hit them with a strong Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Key and Peele, perhaps, Steve Martin and Martin Short, you know, like people that are known to work together and are just so funny in their on their own, but we've also learned to love them as a duo. Why aren't we doing more of this?
I agree. I think you need the chemistry of a duo. I think it's a hard job, I'll admit it, but like you really have to be much more talented than Sir Jimmy Kimmel to pull off hosting the Oscars by yourself. His monologues, his jokes were all the same as his monologues from his show, which are never funny. And I didn't like, you know, even though, you know what I was looking forward to? Every award show always has a fun opening sequence, whatever it is. Jimmy Kimmel's with that Top Gun reference, the Tom Cruise, it's boring. I was bored. It wasn't exciting. Started the show on a bad note. I am here to say I am not a fan of Jimmy Kimmel. Controversial, I know. Everyone calm down. It's okay. But I'm not a fan.
Hold your horses. I will say they keep employing these rich white men to host. And then these rich white men are like, okay, I need to confront and tackle diversity in all my monologues.
Yeah.
And the way, because there is a funny way to do that, but like the way they go about it is just so like weird. Like Jimmy Kimmel was like, I forget the way he like worded this joke, but he was like, they gave me such a hard time. You would think I'm a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Or like someone like wasn't nominated. Oh no, sorry. He was talking about the fact that James Cameron wasn't there.
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, he didn't show up. I can't believe he wasn't nominated because his movie is nominated for Best Picture, but he wasn't nominated for Best Director. You would think he's a woman.
Yes.
And I was like, that's not the serve you think it is.
It's really not.
Because you're part of the issue, babe. Like, so, and just like even to set up a joke with like naming one of the most well-known, richest directors of all time and being like, can't believe he wasn't nominated. Like, shut up. Like, I just, that whole thing, like, why not have a literal, like, queer black woman up there?
Yeah.
Being like, yeah, we have another white dude director. Good luck. Like, that would be so much more interesting. You know? And so I just think it's, like, hard because I think all these performers these days are going for jokes like that. And it's just, like, not landing. Like, I feel like he thinks he's having such a feminist moment. And it's like, that was not a serve, Jimmy. Like, no one cared that you just said, oh, it's as if he's, yes, we get it. It's 2023. We all agree that like women are not nominated as much as men. Move on. How about the fact, why don't you actually talk about a statistic that's actually interesting and actually insane, such as the fact that, and we'll talk about Michelle later, but Michelle Yeoh became the second woman of color to ever win Best Lead Actress.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing too. It's like the statistics they bring up in their jokes aren't even anything to get mad about anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, women directors aren't nominated anymore. I don't even care anymore. Can we talk about, like, the actual diversity? You know what I mean? Because yeah. When a woman is nominated, she's a white woman and whatever, and I don't care. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, Jimmy, I give you a kerplunks on that. I don't know. And then, well, I mean, we'll talk about more of him later when we talk about the iconic moments and blah, blah, blah. But
Yeah, I think the writing of all of his bits were just outdated. It's just stuff that we've heard before. Like, yeah, I know that women aren't nominated or are nominated less than men. Like, I'm aware. Thank you, sir, for telling
me.
Like, okay.
Right. Not
also,
groundbreaking.
I don't even know if we want to even touch on this, but all the damn slap jokes. Like, Jesus Christ, let it die. Like, it's just so old at this point. Like, I know that I was expecting them to say something, but the fact that there was, like, 3 or 4 references to it, I was like, okay, we get it. And I was actually wondering in the beginning when he was, like, talking about, like, safety and, like, the Oscars doesn't condone violence and, like, whatever. I'm like, is the Oscars actually making y'all say this? Like, do they need to, like, cover their butts? Because what is going on here?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
The slap jokes made me so mad. The only slap I want to mention is the popular website for Hollywood arts students. Yeah, I don't want any other slap besides that. I will say, like, yes, like you were saying, like they have to somewhat mention it. Like, of course, like last year's Oscars, this huge thing happened that everyone was talking about. Like, sure, it would be like weird for him to never mention it. I just think, once again, would have been so much more interesting if he just like took Will Smith's side or something. Like, if you know what I mean? Because like he kept making stupid comments like, if anyone wants to come up here and slap me. Shut up. Like, no one's slapping you. That would be too easy. It's like taking candy from a baby. It would have been so iconic if, like, someone presented or something and, like, wasn't funny or something. And, like, he was, like, next to him and was like, yeah, move over before I slap you in the face. And, like, went on to the next category. Like, I feel like that's such a more interesting way to bring this stuff up. But nobody wants to think. Also, here's the issue. People like my mom, I honestly think the biggest... like, the target audience for the show is people from, like, our age to, like, I don't know. But the biggest target audience is not people my mom's age, which is, like, 50s, whatever. Because she told me she didn't watch it. But she was, like, she picked me up from my friend's house last night. And she's, like, did you see, like, there was this joke about the slap? Like, laughing at it. And I was, like... see, your jokes are literally only appealing to, like, her, and she's not the one watching. So at this point, throw out the script, and let's reorganize here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I agree that it's not geared toward that generation, because I feel like the Oscars used to have
I think more... it's geared towards them, but I don't think they're the ones watching the most.
Yes, I agree with that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying she's the one laughing at the joke, but she's not the one tuning in.
The show is forgetting that people our age are also watching, and a lot of us are watching.
Right. And then I also just think then it flops more and more every year, so then they're scrambling to come up with this new, fresh idea, like when they don't even have a host, or just all these, like, bizarre things, and it's not working for me. Also... and I shouldn't say this because I genuinely want to be a talk show host when I grow up, and then I would love to host something like the Oscars and stuff, so please allow me to do both. But it is slightly more interesting when you don't make a host the host.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, I think that's just genuinely so much more interesting. Like, people that, like, do stand-up, for example, because they're comfortable being in front of an audience, like, they know how to improv, blah, blah, blah. But they're not necessarily a host, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure tomorrow or the following night on Jimmy Kimmel's recap of the Oscars, he'll probably be, like, using some of the same jokes or something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I do want to talk about iconic moments of the night. And this could be honestly anything you want, Miranda. Like, you could talk about, like, winners. You could talk about speeches. You could talk about just, like, moments in the audience. I need to start off. With, because we're talking about Jimmy, him going up to my girl Malala.
Oh my God. And
talking about the Harry Styles, Chris Pine spit, did they or didn't they? Something's wrong.
Something's
terribly wrong. How are you going to go up to Malala, the one person in the audience who has ever made a difference, like, in the world? Like, actually the one person in the audience that we should have some sort of respect for, and ask her about Harry Styles and Chris Pine, which, by the way, not even a movie that, like, touched the Oscars. Like, not even people in the audience. Like, just the whole thing, so bizarre to me. And I do think they told her, obviously, the joke beforehand, like, and that's, you know, why that was her response. But, like, to start a sentence with, you are the youngest person to win a Nobel Peace Prize. So what do you think about Harry Styles spitting on Chris Pine? That is the craziest thing I have ever heard.
It was so crazy. And I do, I mean, I think typically I... agree that they, like, tell people the questions beforehand in situations like that, but I'm not 100% sure, because he also asked, like, Jessica Chastain, and she was wearing her mask and she looked, like, unprepared, like, oh, like, let me take my mask off. So I don't know, but yeah, I was like, what actually are you doing asking her this? Like, oh my God. It was so awkward.
It's actually so funny to think about.
It's so ridiculous.
I saw a tweet of someone being like, they like put it in quotations and they were like, cocaine bear, like, sorry, Malala, cocaine bear won't leave you alone or whatever it was. Yeah,
that too.
And they were like, I never predicted this is a sentence. Like, how did we get to this point?
Exactly.
Why Malala? I actually cannot figure this out. Why Malala? Like, do you guys understand the person I'm talking about right now? Malala. Like, not like you said, Jessica Chastain, none of the. Malala. Like, give the girl her space and peace. Damn. She has a whole Nobel Peace, but she shouldn't even be there. Like, let her sit in the back, eat some popcorn, get her life. Her husband's so hot. Like, let her and her husband exist and relax. Keep Cocaine Bear away from. Cocaine Bear should not be in the same space as Malala.
It was crazy.
That is insane. Oh, it smells like eggs in my house. I'm so hungry. Guys, if you hear my stomach grumble, don't mind me. Some of us need to eat. So.
I'm also hungry. Also, everyone on the trip here is awake because they're all texting about this damn dog screaming. So, anyway, what were we talking about?
Malala.
Malala was, that was ridiculous. I can't.
Like, next year, let's invite Greta Thunberg and let's shoot her out of a cannon while that crazy donkey in the beginning, like, holds onto her leg, kicking and screaming. I don't know. Because that's the point it's gotten to.
It's ridiculous. What else did I write about? I wrote some notes while I was watching.
Okay, sure.
And I wrote, yeah, for the Malala, I wrote, asking Malala that question about Harry Styles is so dumb. Is what I wrote down.
I'm sorry. It's actually really funny to think about. Okay, continue.
I mean, there were so many moments. I mean, let's talk about Rihanna. Let's talk about the
Lift
Rihanna.
Lift me up.
Beautiful. Beautiful voice. Beautiful gown.
Wait, lately I've been doing this thing. It's because of my friend. Hi, Parker, if you're listening. I've been doing this thing lately where, like, in the middle, like when I walk into a room, I'll just, like, walk into a room and be like, oh, like, what's an example? I'll walk into a room and be like, yes, I've been brokenhearted. Like, just like something so random. And I think it's so funny because she does that too. And it's just like, it catches people by surprise. I love it.
See, Julia should be a host. Imagine if the host of the Oscars just walked on stage and did that.
That would be so good. We need to start hiring people that, like, aren't known for, like, what they're doing. So, like, a genuine stand-up comic, like, they insist on, like, singing for so much of it. Like, that's funny. Tony, come here. Okay, everybody, I am back. My dog is inside my bedroom now, resting humbly on my bed. Guarantee he's gonna get freaked out in a few minutes when we do mention Rihanna. First of all, Jimmy kept saying Rihanna. And it's really weird to me that we've, like, reached this point in her career that people are still kind of disagreeing on how to say her name. And I don't care how we pronounce it, but, like, there needs to be some sort of general agreement. Mm.
There was a clip of her, I don't remember when or where it was, where she basically says, like, either way is fine.
Right, but, so, I mean, let's choose one.
Let's come to a consensus.
It's like the word macabre. I pronounce it macabre. You can also say macabre, right? It's macabre is the other one.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's macabre.
No, but there's two ways to pronounce it. Like, it's a fact. Right. It's very strange. Anyways, Rihanna and her beautiful baby bump. First of all, she looks stunning. I love it. The performance was really moving. Miranda, what's the name, I always forget, of the woman who introduced her from Black Panther?
Danai Gurira. And that Yosses. Was really, really sweet. I also wrote that down in my notes. Like, it made me tear up.
First of all, not that this is the point, but she was one of the best dressed of the entire night.
So good.
Her outfit gagged me, shit me out, and gave birth to me. Also,
Can we give her some credit for her performance in Black Panther? Because the rest of the cast is amazing, but her performance so good as well.
No, that's why I feel bad. I actually didn't even know her name because I've always, you know, it's been a gagatron with her and I can't get off the ride. Her introduction of Rihanna was so beautiful. I actually tweeted and I was like, I don't think there will ever be a day in my entire life. I think I could be 70 years old that Chadwick Boseman, just the mention of him will not make me so emotional because I just like the impact he's made on our generation. I also just think Black Panther coming out at the height of me being like a teenager. I think I was like 18 when it came out or something. Like it'll just like stay with me forever. And I thought it was so I was so happy. I was like, okay, at least the Academy got one thing right by asking her to be the one to talk about it and not, I mean, I don't even know who else they would choose, but just like, that was so beautiful. And well, no, I will say I loved that they kind of did her and not like Angela Bassett or something. Although I love Angela to the end of time, but it's just like,
of course,
it's just that like deny, like, I love that she got that moment, like, because she's not the type of girl that's going to be recognized for her acting abilities, despite the fact that she absolutely should have been.
Yeah, she got her moment.
And then just when Rihanna was singing, I was like, I can't believe I never even really conceptualized before how just, like, iconic this collab is. Or not collab, but you know what I'm saying? Like, choosing Rihanna to be the one to make, right, to make a song for this. It was just so beautiful. I was like, I know for a fact there's no one else that could have done this better.
I agree.
So Rihanna's performance was amazing. What did you think of, who is it, Stephanie Sue?
Yeah.
And I totally forget his name. Yes, thank you. That was so, I stepped away for a moment. My friend and I were making cocktails, typical. And I stepped away for like 5 seconds. Heard that it was, like, back on, ran back into the room. And I saw that going on, and I was like, what is happening? And it was so funny because I saw a tweet being like, I know some people in the audience are just wildly confused if, like, you haven't seen this movie before.
True. Very true. I think it was interesting. I didn't expect – I was, like, confused. I didn't know David – like, I'm a fan of David Byrne. Expect that at all. I didn't know that was going to happen. But I like that Stephanie Sue got to be up there
and do that. Oh, of course. I think that the Academy sort of, I don't want to say cover their tracks, but I think they took a step back and were like, okay, if Everything Everywhere is legitimately like the most nominated thing tonight, you can't not have them perform.
True.
You know, like I think it was just like, they're finally, and I'm not giving them credit at all because they literally have miles and miles to go, but I think it was like finally the tiniest bit of like, oh wait, if a movie is one of the most celebrated tonight, we should also probably let like the cast shine and should like actually celebrate the movie.
Yeah,
you know, so part of the gaggery, and I'm sorry I keep using that word, guys, I've been hanging out with a weird group of people lately, but part of the, no, gaggery is absolutely the right adjective to use there. I'm sorry. Or noun. It's a noun. It's a noun. Part of the gaggery of the night was the award winners. Now, first of all, I want to shout out really quickly, Miranda, our mutual Kaylin on Twitter, if you know who I'm talking about, who literally has changed her name since like July to Austin Butler's PR manager. Oh, and yeah. I legitimately, not even kidding, and as a stan, and as someone who was like, dedicated my life to like promoting Z and Tom and all this stuff, I can legitimately say that I think this girl has done more than Austin Butler's actual PR manager. Like, this girl loves him down for all his flaws, all his weaknesses. She's in love. And she has been campaigning for his Oscar win since before he was even announced to like be nominated. And it was, I couldn't stop thinking of her last night because the further and further we got into the show, the less and less Elvis was winning, which we've seen before. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix was the only award for Joker, I think, or no, sorry, Bohemian Rhapsody won stuff besides Rami Malek. But yeah, like with Joker, for example, like we've definitely seen that before because being a really good actor is a totally separate thing from how good your movie was or wasn't. But that was bad for her. I like at the halfway mark, I was like, girl, it's not in your favor. I mean, what did you think, Miranda?
Imagine
did you want
how bad it is for him? I didn't watch Elvis, so
oh, okay.
I can't really say on the performance, but I just think it's hilarious that he has basically lived as Elvis for the past like 4 years and did not win.
That's the thing. Like people on Twitter were like, "You had a good run, Austin." Like that's rough. I mean, but it also is so stupid. At the end of the day, like to get the nomination is like insane, and you know. But yeah. I will say he looked, at least in my opinion, so nervous all night. Because, I mean, this is the crazy thing about him. You can't even compare him to, like, Timothy and Zendaya because they've been at this level for longer. And, like, same with, like, Florence, Saoirse, all these people. They've been at this level for longer. Austin Butler literally went from starring in stuff as a teenager, playing, like, the cute guy in your class, to disappearing off the face of the earth as far as literally the general public is concerned. Like, he was in some random projects here and there, but nothing that was ever, like, released in theaters or anything. I mean, he had, what do you call it?
What
is it called? Oh, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He had that, but, like, still, like, he was in, he was not, like, whenever I see a random picture of him from a project, it's, like, a weird horror movie I have never heard of before in a million years. So he literally disappeared. And then literally his comeback role was the biggest role imaginable, where he was like working with Elvis's entire family and nominated for Academy Awards and all this stuff. It's insane. And so I think he really was sort of like pooping his pants all night because he's never even been to the Oscars, you know?
Yeah.
And he looked so – he had this weird nervous smile thing on. I don't know. I pray
also
for him.
Also when – the award was being announced, he was like holding Angela Bassett's hand.
That was crazy to me.
That was crazy to me.
It cut to that, and me and my friend Lily were like, wait, that must have been a mistake. Like, what is going on over there?
Like, she thought he was someone else. Like, they were confused.
She's like, don't worry. What's his name?
Who?
The guy from Triangle of Sadness, but I know him from Beach Rats.
Oh, I don't remember his name.
Miranda. Hold on. Oh, okay. So let me like redo that. So they're holding hands, right? Austin's announced. They're holding hands. They're all nervous. And then it goes, Austin Butler. And then she looks over and goes, you're not Harris Dickinson?
Harris Dickinson?
Yes. Miranda, stay with me. What?
That is literally what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry to you, Austin Butler. Maybe Dune will be your second chance.
Wait, I'm sorry. It's time. Guys, genuinely, I'm sorry that like we always do this because we're the worst. But I'm not even kidding. If Timothy doesn't win the Oscar for Dune, what are we going to do? Miranda, you have to admit it's the best movie ever made, so part two is only going to be better, girl. It doesn't matter how you feel about Timothy. You know it's going to be good.
No, I think the movie is going to be amazing, and I think that the movie is going to deserve a lot of awards. I just feel like Timothy has had other roles and will have other roles that will be, like, even more deserving.
But that's not how they make their – they don't vote saying this was really good, but I'm sure he'll have other roles. Yeah. Because also he has the luxury of being a white man and knowing that he will have other roles.
But I am hoping for a Dune sweep.
Me too. I'm hoping it'll be the type of thing like Euphoria, where it was like season one, people were like, oh my God, wait, this is like actually good. So then by the time season two comes around, they're like, okay, yeah, like this is where everything's going. Yeah. You know? So best actor went to Brandon. I can never pronounce that. Fraser? Is it Fraser or Phaser?
Fraser.
No, but there's an R after the F, I'm pretty sure. But then they were saying Phaser.
Yeah. I thought they were saying Fraser. And I was like, but is it not Fraser? I don't know. But I really am happy that he won. I was getting emotional at his speech. And I think it's like so beautiful when you can tell that they are really like so grateful and happy and like, you know, didn't expect and all that stuff. It's very heartwarming.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend Lily and I was saying it's funny because there's sort of two types of winners. there's the winner that kind of stands up immediately and is like already making their mm-hmm. way to stage and is very like sort of matter of fact. And usually that tends to be more of like more non-acting awards. Like if it's like, you know, set design or something and it's like the person like saw it coming and whatever, and they don't want to like make a big fuss of it. But then there's like, and this is usually happens with actors where it's like they win and they like sit down for a full minute and they're like floored and people have to like get them out of their seats, be like, girl, you won, like go to the stage. And I just feel like he had the vibe of that type of winner where he genuinely was like, I couldn't have even like imagined this, which was awesome. And I've never seen The Whale. Have you seen it?
I haven't, and I really want to. I honestly haven't seen a lot of the movies, and I have several on my list. But yeah, I really want to see The Whale.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of them either. And I was going to try to make some sort of an effort to like watch at least a few more of them. But to be totally honest, I knew the most recognized were going to be Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I've already seen and I love more than life itself. We'll talk more about that later. And All Quiet on the Western Front, which I am never going to watch. I have zero interest in that at all. And then I thought like maybe The Fabelmans as well, although they actually went home empty-handed. But The Fabelmans I like didn't know how to watch online and I was like, it's mm-hmm. it probably would have been better in theaters and whatever. So I just like didn't, you know, do that. But yeah, so Brandon won, and then we have, oh, I'm sorry, quickly, we have to talk about, is it Ki-Hui Kwan?
Ki-Hui Kwan.
Ki-Hui
Kwan? I was just about to bring him up. I don't know, because two different people pronounce it differently on the show.
Okay.
I don't know which is correct. It's a Rihanna situation. It's either Hui or like Hui, or those sounded exactly the same, but the point is,
he won Best Supporting Actor.
That was probably my happiest moment of the night.
That was
like so joyful.
Beautiful. If you want to talk about someone who was like grateful and shocked and so deserving, he's the textbook definition. I just am in love with how much fun he's been having this award season. And I mean, in all seriousness, it would have been the biggest slap in the face to not give it to him and Michelle. My friend actually was saying she feels like he could have been nominated for, like, Best Actor, like, not even Supporting Actor. But,
yeah,
I mean, I digress. I guess, you know, Michelle obviously was, like, the main character in the movie. But he's just such a beautiful man. And, like, I cannot even fathom being in something as a literal, like, six-year-old kid and then just straight up, like, not getting roles anymore. And then your return to film is a million years later. No offense, we love you. Hey, but you say yourself that you're old. And this happening. Like, wow, that is so beautiful. I'm so happy.
That is crazy. And I also, like, thought it was so sweet that Ariana DeBose was choking up when she read his name and then, like, tearing up. That was just such a sweet moment and start, like, really – I loved that it was in the beginning. It made me so happy.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just so adorable. He's just like jumping around full of joy. Like,
he's a really good person, but he also is just an amazing actor. Like, of course, at the end of the day,
yes,
it comes down to just who was genuinely most talented. And I can't imagine, like, just that performance will literally stay with me forever. Like, I was a mess in the theater when he said, you know, I'd be happy to do laundry and taxes with you. Mm-hmm. God, what a line. Also, speaking of it being in the beginning and, like, setting the scene for the show, robbery, Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, I'm so upset by that because it's really overshadowing, like, everything else because I think it's insane that Stephanie Soo did not win. I think that's insane.
Even Angela Bassett.
Please, if you haven't seen it, please go online and look for her audition tape. And tell me she didn't deserve Best Supporting Actress. Like, please.
Here's what I don't understand. You could be the greatest actor in the world. Like, let's talk Zendaya. Obviously, she's the greatest actress to ever live. And let's talk Shake It Up. No one's going to nominate her for Shake It Up, right? But you're going to nominate her for Euphoria because it called for her to, like, show a really wide range of emotions and portray, you know, really difficult things to portray. That if you're a bad actor, you're not going to be able to, like, you know, when I watch Euphoria, I'm like legitimately scared for her. If you're a bad actor, you're not able to do that. Whereas Shake It Up, I could probably find you a million girls right now that could play Rocky Blue. Please, God, Zendaya, forgive me. I didn't mean it like that. I'm just making an example.
She's lying. She's lying.
I'm lying. No, you can't.
It's just, she just has to say
I'm sorry. I could use what's her name as an example. Cece or something. Like, just whatever. Like, you could find a million people to be in a Disney show, which is why most of their careers don't take off after, because, you know, okay, they're not Viola Davis. But anyways, so what I don't understand is if you just look at the scripts for Stephanie Hsu for her role of Joy, her name was Joy, right? Stephanie Hsu for Joy and Angela Bassett for, like, did I see these movies? What's wrong with me? What's her character's name?
Yeah, what do you, Angela Bassett for Black Panther is what you're talking about? Yeah, Queen Ramada.
Okay, thank you.
Right? Why am I forgetting everybody's name?
See, and this is what I'm really saying. Nice. First Harris Dickinson, now we're here. I woke up very early. Exactly. But anyways, if you even just look at their scripts, I don't understand how that's not an immediate boost over Jamie Lee Curtis, whose script called for her to be an IRS, what do you call it, like an IRS accountant, whatever?
Auditor.
Auditor, thank you. Yes, an IRS auditor. And literally sit there with like a fake belly and just be like, you purchased a karaoke machine.
I just think it's insane. And I think why they did it is because Jamie Lee Curtis is such a, you know, established actress.
Icon, right.
Whatever, whatever.
But so was Angela Bassett. She's
never won an Oscar before. Oh, also, when Jamie Lee Curtis won, if you look at Angela Bassett's face, she is like, what the hell?
Yeah.
She's like, what? But yeah, I just don't understand. It's, her role was... Like, yeah, she's there, but it's, like, not very consequential.
Yes, I mean, she's there.
I can't say it's not consequential, but, like...
The criteria for winning an Oscar now is she was there.
She was there. Yeah, she was present in the movie. For filming. I saw her. It's just not a performance that even calls for very much emotional depth.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, like, the character of Joy was so... I keep seeing people post all these, you know, clips of her... In Everything Everywhere, being like, how does this not win anything? Yeah. Like, the just emotional range you have. There were so many scenes of her bawling, crying. And then, you know, the second Evelyn would get a little bit closer, she would, like, put on a straight face again. And, like, just so amazing. And, like, Angela Bassett, I was a mess in the theater. I actually saw it with Miranda. I was a mess in the theater. Like, I just don't understand what about Jamie Lee Curtis's role dictates, oh, the only person that could play this so well must win an Oscar.
I just don't understand. I don't understand. It's really, it really tainted the entire Oscars for me. Because that's just crazy. Anyway, let's talk about something happier. Should we talk about Michelle?
And now, for the highlight of everyone's night, whether or not you've even seen the movie, I think we can all agree, this needed to happen 10 years ago. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, yesterday it needed to happen, this past Sunday. Miranda?
Yes.
What was that event that I'm referring to?
That event was the winner of Best Actress for 2023 being Michelle Yeoh.
Yay!
Everyone applause, everyone cheer, everyone scream, cry, throw
this
up.
Girl is on fire!
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Beautiful voices. I do it for you, Michelle. I do it for you.
Best moment of the night, maybe. Probably, yes.
I just, once again, think it would have been such a slap in the face and just so beyond bizarre if she didn't win. I mean, I really...
Wait, can we talk about how people were, like, mad that she posted that article on her Instagram about, like, how there's only ever been one woman of color to win that category, and she captioned it, like... You know, whatever it was, like, will this change this Sunday? I don't remember what. I was so confused about that.
Wait, why would people be mad? Why?
Exactly. Why would people be mad? I think people were mad because they were saying that it seemed, like, presumptuous, or that it seemed like, oh, she's, like, putting the Academy in a corner because, like, they don't want to be racist, whatever. But I was like, what? Like, she's just making a completely valid point.
No.
I don't understand why people were mad.
Also, if that was putting the Academy, if putting the Academy in a corner ever worked, we would not have only had one previous woman of color winner.
Exactly.
Like, that clearly doesn't work. Did you know the woman who did set design for Wakanda Forever? And I'm so sorry. I should have looked up her name. I'm so sorry. But a wonderful black woman has just become the first black woman in history to win more than one Oscar.
Oh, the costume designer for Black Panther. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, that's insane.
Oh my God. Wait.
What?
Wait, sorry. This is like funny and random. But I just went on Twitter to find the woman's name because, like, I know I liked the tweet about her winning. And the first thing I see is a literal picture of Austin Butler and Vanessa Hudgens at the Vanity Fair after party.
Wait, what? I want to see that.
Isn't that so weird?
I want to see it.
I'll show you. It's, like, just them two.
Oh, wait. Wait, what? Oh, I see, I see. Wait, that's hilarious. Wait, also, I just was looking up about Michelle Yeoh's Instagram post that I was talking about. Another reason people were mad was that because she posted, like, screenshots from, like, an article. And part of the article says, like, oh, Cate Blanchett is potentially more deserving because her performance, whatever, called for more, whatever, whatever. And so people are like, oh, like, she's taking a dig at Cate Blanchett. That's messed up. And it's like, what? Like, she didn't write the article. She's just talking about the fact that there's only ever been one woman of color win that category.
Well, unfortunately for Michelle Yeoh, people have monkey brains these days. Actually, not even. Monkeys are very intelligent. People have, I don't even know what. Wait, I'm sorry. This is so, like, this is the thing that I really do love about Twitter. Is, like, the internet is, like, an insane disease. Like, especially Twitter. Like, just this picture of Austin and Vanessa, a random account tweeted it with, like, no caption, and Film Updates quoted it and was like, Austin Butler and Vanessa Hudgens spotted outside the Vanity Fair Oscars party. And, like, just, like, the responses are insane. Like, people are like, his voice is going to be back very soon. His high-pitched voice is next. Why is he so thin? Friends what? With a heart emoji. And the Oscar ? Where ? Like, what are people saying? Okay. Like, people will literally say anything. Oh my God, someone responds, Donatella Versace in all caps. So anyways, sorry guys, I lost the plot for just a moment.
That's hilarious. Where is Kaia Gerber?
No, she was with him. She was there. They posed together for the after party.
So it's like, where is she together. In this photo is what I'm saying. I want a recreation of the photo of Vanessa Hudgens and Kaia Gerber when Kaia is like 10 years old.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know why I do not ship Austin Butler and Kaia Gerber. I just like...
Oh, I do not.
I don't think like anyone does. I think that's like the thing about them. Just weird to me. I don't know. He's like strange to me. I constantly go back and forth about how I feel about him. Like, I think if I was genuinely like his age and an actor and like working with him on a project, I'd be like, yeah, I love him. But like, I just like, I don't know. I feel so like indifferent about him.
Kaia Gerber and Austin Butler are weird because she's 21 and he's 31.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand as a 31-year-old why you would want to date a 21-year-old.
I know, and like, they started dating when she was what, like 20? Like,
I'm 22 so years weird. Old and I would not want to date like a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old even. So what? Make sense.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I always think about that too. If I'm on like Tinder or something and someone's like 19, I'm like, ew, disgusting. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's so gross. And I'm literally 21.
Yeah. And I also constantly go back and forth how I feel about him. Most of the time I don't like him, but most of the time I don't like most male actors. So
I think that's what it is. I think my heart just doesn't have room for like another like white blonde guy that's just so conventionally attractive. Also, it's so weird because I actually think he's really conventionally attractive, but I'm not attracted to him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's that. Nothing like interesting about him that is attracting me to him. Whereas like other people. Yeah. End of sentence.
So true.
So anyways, back to the set designer for Wakanda Forever. Was it set design or was it costume? I think it was costume. Yeah, I was just going to say it's costume design. She became the second Black woman in history to win more than one Oscar, which is insane to me that there's been 95 Oscar awards. We've only had two women of color, not even Black women, two women of color lead actress wins, and the first Black woman to win two Oscars just happened in 2023.
The people who have won multiple Oscars, like what's the
most like Frances McDormand for lead actress alone has won like three or four.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like in the same category, that's crazy.
Just for lead actress, yeah, not even like in general. And then I quickly want to talk about our faves of the night, being Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield. I felt so bad when literally no one laughed when Jimmy Kimmel was like naming, like, you're gonna have to fight Michelle Yeoh, and like, you're gonna have to, I don't even remember the other things he said, but then he was like, or Spider-Man, and it was crickets.
Yeah, at first, I mean, they laughed, they had like belated laughter.
No, but I think they were laughing at the fact that no one reacted.
Yeah.
That's how I interpret, because I think it was so like funny. Laughter, like, oh my God, wait, we're so sorry, like type thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? Like, first of all, this is Andrew Garfield, America's sweetheart. Second of all, it's hilarious that he makes that silly face.
I know, I love his little like, silly doing face.
I'm like gearing up to fight Michelle Yeoh's hand gesture. It's so adorable. She's beautiful. And I'm like, y'all laugh. Like, this is your man. We love him. You can't lie.
I will say, and I hate defending people who are not Andrew Garfield, but I will say, I think there was a tiny bit of like a trip up moment because Spider-Man didn't come out recently.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I do
they
think.
They were like, Tom Holland? Where is he?
Right. Like, I do think people were like, what is he talking about? Like, whereas obviously Michelle Yeoh, it's like, oh yeah, she's literally nominated for lead actress.
Yeah, all
like,
the other we're actors already were from looking movies. At her.
Right.
That are
right. So I do think it was
award season.
A little like out of place of him to like kind of bring that up. Like I think even Andrew himself was like, okay, like, you know. Yeah. Also, Spider-Man's not like a fighting, like the Michelle call out was so good and iconic because like the entire movie she has to like fight her way through it and blah, blah, blah. Whereas like Spider-Man's, he does obviously, he's a superhero, but like, I don't know. His whole thing is, like, peace. And
I mean, I appreciate any Spider-Man reference, and I think he's adorable, so. But yeah, it just was, like, not in line with the other references.
I loved Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield presenting together. Lately, Florence has been getting a lot of hate, and I'm sorry, I won't stoop down to that level. I can't do it.
I respect you for that. I'm really excited to see her in Dune.
She's gonna
so
be amazing.
Curious.
She's gonna bring the house
what
down.
What her character is gonna be like?
The theater's
I still
gonna
need to read the book.
Yeah, I'm like halfway through it.
Yeah, so cute. Can we talk for a second about the girl Amelia Dimms from Chicken Shop Date and Andrew Garfield?
Oh yeah. Just, at first, when you said the girl's name, I was like, "What are you smoking?" Yeah. I do not know who that is. Same way when you said Chicken Shop Date, I was like, girl, we are watching different shows. And then I realized, for those of you that you don't know or don't recognize what Miranda's talking about, it went really viral on Twitter, and I'm assuming TikTok too, because okay, that's a thing now.
Yeah.
Of this interviewer who's interviewed Andrew Garfield once before on the red carpet for what was it, the Golden Globes or something?
She interviewed him twice, Golden Globes and his like man.
Oh, you were talking about they had a new one from the Oscars.
No, they don't have a new one, but they had two before that. They had – the one that went most viral was the one from the Golden Globes party, which was the second one.
And they had two
but
before
that
the
was
Golden
the
Globes?
Second time that they met. They – before
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm saying in this video she had interviewed him once before.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Anyways, it's just a lot of really, really fun energy and just so flirtatious. And it actually reminds me of the type of thing that's – you know, when you were, like, younger and you'd read fanfics and they would have, like,
it
tags.
It's like that.
No, it literally, but it's like a fanfic, but it reminds me of those tags where, you know, they're telling you, like, what's, like, obviously in the story. And they're, like, so much fluff. It's tooth-rottening.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, it, like, reminded me of that kind of, because it wasn't, like, fluff, but it was just, like, it wasn't, like, sexual to me. Like, it was just, like, really, like, good energy.
They're just
and, yeah,
so,
she's literally they, living the
It's
YN
just so flirty
moment.
And adorable. And people
He's
that
a
really
great person to do that with. Like, that is not surprising
great.
At all.
He's and they just – it's just, like, you know when you meet someone, you just have, like, the same humor and, like, you're just immediately flirty and it's, like, so fun. That's what it's like. I'm sure you all know what we're talking about. It went super viral. And if you're, like, on the internet at all – if you're listening to this, you've probably seen this. But, yeah, the point is that everybody was talking about – because she was doing the carpet at the Vanity Fair party and interviewing everyone, and he was there. And so everybody was like, oh, like, I want another, you know, whatever. Anyway, we didn't get it, but I was thinking about how it must be, like, so awkward to, like, go that viral and have all these people like, I want you to talk to him again. I want to see another moment with Andrew Garfield, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yes, it's adorable. And I love it, but at this point it's like so insanely popular and everybody's demanding it that I'm like, it must, like, imagine how much pressure there'd be on them to, like, be cute again. I don't know,
it's just, like, actually my biggest dream in life. It's every day that's how I imagine my first interview with Timothée Chalamet going.
No, like, you totally would have that exact dynamic with multiple people.
Thank you. I think so, too. And that's also, like, I just love the way that's even how she approaches an interview in general. I feel like celebrities genuinely like when you don't treat them like such a celebrity. And obviously, the go-to for most red carpet interviews before, like, Oscars and stuff is, oh, my God, we love your song, Lift Me Up. What can you tell me about being given the opportunity to make a song for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever? Like, and it's, like, that's totally fair, of course. Like, those are the questions, like, we do want answered. But I love the idea of, like, you don't need to always do that. And, like, if Andrew Garfield's, like, playing around with you, like, play around back. Like, don't, you know, like, even when she tried to ask him a serious question, he was like, you're really going to try to ask me a serious question. And she was like, I don't know. Like, I love that. And I definitely feel like I would do that so much. And
did you see Hugh Grant's interview from the red carpet?
Wait, I didn't, but I was hearing about that. It was with Ashley Graham, right?
It was with Ashley Graham and people are, like, saying that he was being really rude. I don't think he was being rude. I just think he was not wanting to engage in the interview. And, like, I understand that doing interviews like that is probably really annoying because they're asking all the same questions. And it's like, who are you excited to see? And he's like, I don't know. Like, he's like, I don't know. I guess nobody. So I don't think he was necessarily being an asshole. I just think he, like, was not putting in any effort. And she's doing amazing. Like, really, I applaud her because he's giving her nothing and she's, like, still asking questions and trying to keep it upbeat. But yeah, it was just, like, a really awkward moment. And there's this one thing where he, I don't remember what she asked him, but he was saying, like, oh yeah, the Oscars is basically, like, a Vanity Fair. And she goes, oh yeah, like, we're all just waiting for the Vanity Fair party. So true. And it's so awkward because he was saying, like, he was using the saying, like, literally, like, it's like a Vanity Fair here at the Oscars. Everybody's so vain, whatever. And she was like, oh, yeah, the Vanity Fair party. I'm so excited. I was like, oh, God. But no blame to her. I mean, she was doing amazing. It was just, like, so such an awkward moment.
It is awkward because I'm sure – I mean, I don't know why Hugh Grant had a stick up him down there. But I'm sure certain actors – like, I will say, for example, I don't know why I'm just – he's on my brain now. But, like, Austin Butler, you know, I'm sure he's been interviewed a million times in the past 2 months. And I'm sure 99% of those interviews mention, like, his voice change and all that stuff. And it's, like, I honestly – sometimes I do give celebrities, like, one or two passes where I'm, like – I don't really know. Like I said, I don't know why Hugh Grant would be doing this at the Oscars, especially when, like, the person interviewing him is, like, another celebrity just, like, trying to, like, have fun with him. But – I do sometimes understand when, like, during interviews, like, celebrities are like, I don't know, man. And, like, they kind of just want to, like, walk away. Because that, like, that would be exhausting, I guess, to be questioned all the time. But, no, I definitely think the way he went about it is so unnecessary and very strange. But, interesting. Now, Hugh Grant, of course, I have to give that 2 thumbs down. However, there is something I want to give 10 hot dog fingers up. And that is Everything Ever All at Once. And now we have a lot of listeners to this podcast. We've become extremely popular. And I know not all of you have seen this film. I know it for a fact. I want you, when we're done in a minute, exit out, look it up, press play. I don't even care what kind of quality it is. I don't care where you are right now. Doctor's office, perfect. They'll probably want to watch it too. This film changed my life. And those of you who follow my Instagram saw my rant Sunday night saying how much it changed me. I also highly recommend, I know this might sound like depressing or whatever, but I would actually really recommend watching it by yourself. Or if you're going to watch it with just one other person, maybe your mother or something. But I watched it by myself in theaters and it was the most cathartic, but stressful and thought-provoking and fearful experience of my life. And I would not change it for the world. I had the greatest time. I was laughing and crying, like snot bubbles happening by myself. So, so, so beautiful. And I feel like I never like what's most popular. And so the fact that it actually won Best Picture, and for the rest of time, we can always say the 2023 Best Picture was Everything Ever All at Once, makes me legitimately emotional. That is how you close in Oscars.
I loved the moment when they won. It made me emotional. And really, they swept the entire show. I'm really glad they won Best Editing, because I think that's really a specific.
Their editing team was only five people, you guys.
Only five people is crazy. And I just love that cast. I want Stephanie Soo to like come up to the mic and say something though. But
yeah,
it was very joyful. And I really want to rewatch that movie.
Me too.
Because I haven't seen it since it came out. It came out a year ago. So I just tweeted that
it's time for me to rewatch it. And Troy actually responded and was like, same. Here's the thing. I was telling my friend when we were watching it. This goes to show how powerful, because, you know, people love to say, TV and film isn't good anymore. That's not true. That there's literally millions and millions, probably billions of films in the world. Like, you're just not watching. Okay, just because the one released in your local theater is not something you like does not mean films are inherently bad now. And it just goes to show the power of, accepting a smaller crew, which then I'm sure can lead to actually paying them more and paying them, you know, what they deserve, and hiring, you know, casting people that are not just, you know, whoever's hot right now in all these magazines, and, you know, taking a story that actually takes risks and is something that, you know, we could never ever, you could never even claim they like stole that story from anyone, because it is so beyond original. Like, that's not even something you could make up in your wildest dreams, and how that will literally lead to the greatest project you've ever seen in your life, and how stuff that has even smaller budgets are actually what's deserving of the big budgets and what we actually spend money on. You know what I mean? Like, these types of projects are what we should be pouring everything into. And I'm sorry, if the Daniels, the directors, and I believe they made the screenplay for this as well, if they're do not get like 50,000 offers to direct the greatest projects moving forward, I'm going to be mad, because unfortunately I could so foresee that happening. This stuff happens and then, you know, the people disappear off the face of the earth. No, they are visionaries like I've never seen before. This movie, I'm not even kidding, literally reminds me of why I genuinely major in television, radio, and film. Like, it is the perfect mix of hilarious, heartbreaking, makes you, like I said, I literally rethought my entire life. Like, I was like, what is my purpose here on this world? Like, but not in a depressing way. It was so, so beautiful. And like, I'm not, my parents are not immigrants. Like, you know, it's just so relatable though. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's so you on the screen.
Boom. I think the message at the end of the day is what Kyoei Kwan said in his speech, which is that dreams do come true. And that's what we would like to leave you with, truly. Film is beautiful. Everybody go watch a new movie today.
Yes. I watched my own Private Idaho yesterday.
Very exciting. I don't know what that is.
Thank you. It's Keanu Reeves and River Phoenix, and River Phoenix plays a gay sex
partner. I think
partner.
Somebody just watched that on the plane next to me the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I love you guys a lot, and yes, remember, dreams do come true. Michelle also said that. She was like, dream big, and dreams do come true. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for listening. We're happy to be back. We're going to try to put out the best season ever.
Not try to, will. And when will. I do host the Oscars in probably only just a few years, to be totally
honest.
You're
all invited.
You're all invited, and I'll shout out this podcast till my lips bleed, and they ask me to evacuate the premises. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Also, Lady Gaga, I love you. We never mentioned you, but I do love you. You're so tiny and adorable.
So true.
Bye.
Kisses.
Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed another episode of Miranda and I going on about God knows what this time.
If you'd like to hear more of our ramblings, come back every Wednesday for another glimpse into the one small but strong brain cell Julia and I share.
Unless, of course, this is our season finale?
Well, yeah, but we would have specified that before this outro, right?
I want to say yes, but it also seems like something we'd forget, seeing as you've just pinned us as girls with literally half a brain cell each, so...
Well, I assume that brain cell was 3/4 mine, and you had that 25% all to yourself.
As Miranda has made clear, join us next week or go back to our previous episodes to keep you quenched for the next 7 days. I'm Julia.
And I'm Miranda. Thanks for listening to us.
Put the P in raspberry. Miranda, you were like really behind on that. That was weird.
I wasn't behind.
You were, Miss 3/4 brain cell. You absolutely were.
Okay, well, you just talk fast and I was taking my time.
Leos are always taking their time, and it's like, for what exactly? For what?
It sounded good. Our audience loved it. It sounded good.
And you know what?